The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right. Well, as Tammy said, we are celebrating a couple anniversaries, my beginning to pastor and the time we've been in this church. So this month is a very special time for all of us. And I asked Linda if she would share some this morning, some memories and some things that she has, the things that God has done over the years, the time that she's been here at Bethel. Actually, she was at South Bethel, the place where Tammy and I got saved, at about the same time. Were you there before we got there? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. She was your youth leader. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, she has a lot of things a lot of knowledge about the church and the past and the things that God has done. And I'm just really excited about having her share this morning because she has been a pillar of this church forever. She is a person that I've looked up to for many years. Her spiritual position in the church has been very high, very strong, and I've admired her over the years. You know, I'll make her sound like she's a saint, but she is. We're all saints, right? But she is certainly very special to us, and I just want to say thank you, Linda, for doing this. I appreciate it so much. So, Linda Well, amen.
How many of you have been enjoying the sermons on fear? I thought was wonderful, and God really revealed some things. I didn't think I was a very fearful person, but I had a lot more fears than I thought I did. And it makes me nervous to get up here and talk, so I'm a little nervous, but I'm trying to remember that fear's a liar.
Amen.
So I'm going to have a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you've brought us through and all that you're going to take us through, Lord. I thank you for the anointing of your word, Lord, and I just pray that you will just penetrate people's hearts today, Lord, and that everything that is said and done will glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, the Hebrew word zakor means remember. It appears 169 times in various forms in the Bible. Through festivals and rituals, the people of Israel were commanded to remember decisive events in their history. The five books of Moses, known to Jews as the Torah, commands the children of Israel to remember six particular events. And when I was studying, I don't know if this is accurate or not because I didn't follow it back to make sure, but in my studies it said that the Star of David is made of two triangles, and that represents the six events that the Jews were to remember. So if that's not right, correct me. In Genesis 35, Jacob set up a stone pillar so he could remember the place God spoke to him. So these are just a few examples of times where God said, you know, remember, or the people said, remember. In Joshua, they took stones out of the river when the river parted for the River Jordan, and they set up these stones as a remembrance. So today, I'm talking to you as we celebrate and remember our 14th year in this building and Pastor Rob's 24th year as a pastor. So Pastor Rob and Tammy were saved in 1978 at South Bethel, the little church on the hill. One day while attending, I had an impression from God that I needed to cover my head at the service. Now, I brought something to show you, so you don't think I put a pamper on my head. Because my daughter was somewhere between 1 and 2, and I carried cloth diapers around because my kids spit up. And so this is what we had. So I covered my head. Hopefully it looked better than this. I probably just wrecked my hairdo for the service. And we were just a little a little church, and I remember announcing this to the congregation that I felt impressed to do this. It'd be a little bit harder to do maybe here, but we were just a little group, and I thought, well, this is really kind of weird and nutty. But God just wouldn't let me go on it. He just said, I want you to cover your head. I want you to cover your head. I just finally said, okay. So I went through that whole service with a diaper on my head. I really thought that I was just bringing something weird up in my mind, but he didn't let me go, so I did it. I remember looking around thinking, Lord, what am I going to use? If you want me to cover my head, what am I going to use? And that's what he showed me. So that act of obedience marked that day in people's memories. So fast forward to 1995, when Pastor Rob began preaching. He spent 7 years at that small building. Then we moved to Tupper's Plains, the old elementary school that now has the Eastern administrative offices, and we had services in their gym for a year. And then we went for 2 years or a little more at the Chester Elementary, where we now have the community center. One day, Pastor Rob was preaching at Chester, I think. And he mentioned in his service that one day I had covered my head with a diaper, and that day, I believe the pastor was encouraging people to come up to seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he said, I had laid hands on him, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I remember laying hands on several people. I don't know who they were. I don't know that I would have remembered that day, but I didn't even know it. So somewhere from 1979 to 1995, I had no idea that that had happened. I was a little embarrassed when he told that story, because how many people would wear a diaper on their head to church? But I was also awed that I had laid hands on him, and that's when he got the baptism. That was 16 years later that he gave that sermon. So in Jewish tradition, the laying on of hands confers a blessing or authority. Jesus laid hands on people and they recovered from illness. He laid hands on children and blessed them. There's many examples of the laying on of hands. In Acts 8, 14 through 19, Peter and John laid hands on Gentiles, and they received the Holy Spirit. In Acts, the laying on of hands occurred after they select deacons, so it can be a commission of ministry. I can't tell you that I understand all the symbolism in the covering of my head, but I know that God spoke to me after that sermon that day. Sometime later, he said, I had you cover your head because I knew he was going to be your pastor. So I believe there's a lot wrapped up in that, including respect and authority. And it became kind of an awesome thing and not an embarrassing thing. Because God uses things and he will use you, and you don't always know why or what it means. But sometimes you get the opportunity to find out what he was talking about. 2 weeks ago, Ivy mentioned, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that she saw a shroud over the congregation. Last fall, in late September, around that time, I saw what God called a shroud over the congregation. And because of where I sat, my vision is on this side. And as I'm looking, I see this shroud. God said it was a shroud. And at first, I'm sitting back there during praise and worship, I'm alarmed. I'm like, a shroud? Isn't that what goes over dead people? I looked it up really quickly. I have yet to see this definition come up as the first definition again. But that day, I'm like, I got to find this out right now. It said a protective covering. God told me the shroud was like mosquito netting, providing protection from the fiery darts of the enemy. Later during that service, he said three things. One, that there were specific conflicts that were brought in by a spirit. I don't know what it was, but it caused division. And he said, today that's over. He said that the stigma against our church and the community was over. And he said, and we're going forth in unity. And boy, haven't you seen that this year? Because I have. A few weeks ago, God brought this back to my mind. So in my mind, I've had all the revelation about this diaper that there was. But God said, remember that head covering? Remember what it looked like? It was the same as the shroud I showed you over the congregation. I thought, wow, protective covering. So a simple act of obedience, a monumental day of change and empowerment for Pastor Rob, is still being brought back to our remembrance and getting additional meaning as we go along. Some of you hear from God all the time, and some of you don't think you do. But anybody can hear from God. You need to start responding to what may be subtle little feelings or things you get when the word's being preached or something that you read, and you need to start acting on it. Just make sure it lines up with the word of God, because everybody can hear from God. I'm not unique in that. He can talk to you all the time, and it hasn't always been that way for me. You know, I remember as a young person being kind of, you know, having to go to the Word or having to pray. I don't remember God speaking to me directly. I thank God for the times he's used me, even if I didn't realize what was going on. I also thank God for my church, for my pastor and his wife, and I'm thankful that I can call him my friends. I thank God for his faithfulness. He's been so faithful to us, good times and bads. I'm looking forward to many more years of God using all of us to change our lives, the lives of others, and our community. I'm just looking forward to what God has in store for us. I'm looking forward to what kinds of things he's going to reveal to each of you that's going to be life-changing. Because when God speaks to you, he speaks to your heart, he reveals something to you, you never forget it. And it continues to have power. So thanks for asking me to speak.
Tammy, would you come up and share what you told me about what someone saw over the church? This really goes along with the shroud, the protective covering that Linda was talking about.
This was sent to me. I got it last Sunday evening, and it was from a gentleman in the community that was driving by here. And he stopped here at Bethel and talked to Jeannie, and I was off that day that he stopped, so he wanted to share it with me. He said, I told your sister what I saw over Bethel church area. An estimate of about 100 to 200 feet from the ground. It was about 2 a.m. in the morning. He said it was a Friday morning. He said there was a very thick cloud. It was very white. He said there was no fog around. One explanation, he thought, smoke from a fire. I thought there was a house on fire. Cloud was not coming from anywhere. It was just hanging over Bethel church area. I felt it was good. He said, and then another Christian told me they saw the same thing in the early morning hours coming home from work, and it was fascinating. He says, I felt it was a glory cloud, several hundred feet long, but not as wide, and it was white. And I said, he said it wasn't a fog, and it was thick. That was about it. And then I sent him a picture also. I don't know if you saw it on our Facebook page a while back. There was this huge rainbow during the day over our church. So,
all right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Yeah, nice. Is that a rainbow, or, you know, it almost looks like a, is it? You don't see the colors, but it does, it looks like a huge dome. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. It's awesome. You know, God gives us things like this so that we can, you know, physical things, like Linda putting the diaper on her head. You know, I know she had told me one time that was kind of embarrassing for her, but I didn't approach it that way. I didn't even think about it being embarrassing. I thought, man, this is awesome. Yeah, this is incredible. You know, God was doing a work, and He tells us to do things sometimes that is, it seems strange. People tell me all the time, you know, this is really strange, but I feel like God's saying this, or God is doing this. And it does. It's out of the ordinary, but that's the God we serve. He's out of the ordinary. He's supernatural. Amen? And being supernatural means it's not going to be a natural thing to us. It's supernatural. It's powerful. And God's desire and God's will sometimes is brought about by things that seem a little strange to us, but if we are obedient to the Word of God or whatever He speaks to our heart, I believe eventually we figure out what this was all about, just like the situation with Linda and myself. You know, God shows us things. And it sometimes it may be years down the road before you come to the realization of why you did that, or what why God was moving you in that direction. But you realize, wow, God's sovereign hand was upon my life even when I didn't realize it. God was directing. You've got to realize when the Bible says that God has ordered your steps, that's not just, it wasn't just a whim, oh, I'm going to tell people this to make them feel good. No. God is telling you, He's ordered the steps that you are going through, the steps that you are taking. He knows exactly what steps and missteps you're going to take. He knows that when He tells you to go right and sometimes we go left, that He's still going to be there to redirect you and get you back. If you're His, He's not going to let you fall. He's not going to let you go down. If you're His, and you have any desire at all to please Him and follow after Him, He will make a way for you, if even when you get off track, to get back on track. He loves you that much. He loves all His people. I know we hear a lot of things sometimes about the judgment of God, and yes, He's a judge. His mercy, His love, His forgiveness is forever. But for those who refuse to hear His voice and refuse to walk the path that He has laid before them, there is going to be some judgment. Even for Christians who refuse to do the things. Corinthians tells us there's rewards for us. Some are just going to enter into heaven, enter into the land of glory by the skin of their teeth. The Word says it'll be as if by fire, because all their works are going to be burned up. But yet they will enter in. God's not going to let them miss the mark. And then those who have strived, who have done what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that the Gentiles seek after will be added to you. But it's more than that. There's a greater reward than any good things that we're going to have in this world. There's an eternal reward. And yes, God wants you to know him in the land of the living and feel him and trust him and walk with him and receive his goodness and his blessings in the land of the living. But listen, our goal, our ultimate goal is not here in this place. It's to be with him forever. It's to live in glory. It's to seek him in such a way that when we finally meet him, we don't have to hang our head in shame. That we can stand before the living God and give him glory and praise because we took our life. We allowed him to take our life and allow him to do what he willed for it, with it. You know, this week I lost an uncle. Cancer, you know, he'd had it for a long time, but they didn't realize it and misdiagnosed. And he was told about 3 weeks ago that he had stage 4 liver cancer. And now he's gone. And when you think about things like that, how fleeting life is, it needs to make us reflect on our life and what's important. You know, he was a good man. He had a good family. His children love him, grandchildren, loving wife, good man. As far as I know, he didn't make a commitment to Christ until right at the end of his life, but he did do that. That's the most important thing that he did. But you know, when I think about all the things that he did in his life, he did some really good things and right things by sowing good seed into his family. His children, when you talk to them, you know, they missed him greatly, but they had nothing but great things to say about him. Not everybody experiences that kind of a life. But those are the things that are important. You know, no one's going to care. I was talking to our life group the other day. No one's going to care that I mowed my yard every week when we get in glory. And I like to keep my yard manicured. But I've been busy lately, and Tammy's been doing all the mowing. Praise God. And she's been doing the weed eating, too. Hallelujah. Right. Hallelujah. But let's think about what is really important in this life. We don't care. And we're not going to, on our last breath, we're not going to say, wow, I'm glad I went to work every day and I worked hard. And that's important. I'm not trying to diminish that. You know, our thoughts are going to be about family, about people, about the body of Christ, about what we've done for Jesus. He is good. He is awesome. He is mighty. You know, let me get my notes here because I'm just rambling. I'm not going to get into this morning, but I am going to just talk a little bit about my message next week. Because I've got it right here, got it prepared, but I'm not going to preach it this morning. But I want you to know that what we're going to be talking about is digging and redigging wells, spiritual wells. and how important it is for us to recognize that for our families, if we do not dig the spiritual wells properly, the water that flows out of it, it'll be tainted. We're going to use scripture in Genesis of Abraham digging a well, and in Genesis with Isaac re-digging the same wells that his father dug. And he allowed the Philistines to fill in those wells. They got junk and dirt. Dirt from the world. Dirt from the Philistines. And next week, I just want to be able to get into this and share with you the importance of making sure that we keep our focus on the spiritual things, the most important things in our life. And I want you to know everything in your life is spiritual. I'm not trying to divide them up. Your work is spiritual. Your family life is spiritual. Your recreation is spiritual. That's why you have a responsibility to keep it where God wants it to be. God is so good to his people that he's given us a wonderful life. How many enjoy their life? All right? I know some people, maybe you don't. Maybe things aren't exactly the way you want them to be. But let me tell you something, it could be a whole lot worse. I was reading in an article about a missionary in Uganda this week. And that missionary was there in this particular village preaching and sharing when they dug the first well right there in that particular area. That well now provides water for about 30,000 people, he said, in that area. But he said it was years and years ago when they did that. It's an old well, but that well is still producing sweet, wonderful, life-giving water. And he said when he talks to people in the community, they talk in terms of pre-well times and post-well times. It's a historical event for them. Because before the well, their life was very, very difficult. We all need water to survive, and we take it for granted in this world, in our life, in our society. We go to the tap and turn on the water, and there it is. We take it for granted. We waste a lot of it sometimes, too. It's there, but for someone like that in Uganda, that well marked a significant place in the community and in the lives of those people. It changed everything about the way they lived. We don't have to think about that. That's why I'm telling you, we need to be conscious of the reality of where we are and what God has done for us and how wonderful our life is. The next time you start thinking, oh, woe is me, this is horrible. No. God is still with you. I know things happen. Things go bad. Things are difficult sometimes. I'm not trying to condemn you for that. Life can be difficult. But remember, your God is still good to you.
Yes, he is. Yes, he
is. Your God is still blessing you. Your God is still directing you. Awesome God we serve. I know we don't have to think about those kind of things here, but it's good for us to be reminded of the reality of the comforts that we have. You may not have a mansion, but most of us have a warm place for the winter, and we get to stay out of the rain. Can you think it? Right now, there are people all over this world who are displaced from the place that they were born in because of war and terrorism and all kinds of horrible things going on in this world. Pray for those people. Be conscious of what is happening. Christians are being persecuted because, one thing, because they love Jesus. Now, I don't want this to be a downer. It's not what this message is all about. That's not what I'm sharing with you this morning. What I want to share with you is that God is good and He's on your side.
Yes, He is. Hallelujah.
Listen, the calling and the anointing on my life has been confirmed time and time again. But I'm not unique in the body of Christ. I just happen to be the pastor. That doesn't make me any different than anybody else. You have a calling and an anointing on your life. Wherever you are, whatever God has called you to, use it. Glorify His name. Take advantage of opportunities. Don't miss the opportunities that He gives you. Seek Him. Serve Him. Do it right where you are. And if you're doing it right where you are, in the time that you have, with the resources that you have, He very well could take you from that place to the next place. And I believe He wants to. That's an awesome, awesome God that we serve. Amen. He is still on your side. I want you to know that this morning, that our God is alive and He's still on your side. He's never going to leave you or forsake you.
Hallelujah.
Well, this is kind of a different kind of morning. Didn't expect things to go in this direction. But I want you to just bear with me this morning. Because I believe there's just a couple things that I need to share. God is calling the body of Christ back to a relationship with Him that is unique in this last day's time. People have had those experiences in the past, but you know, we're living on, we talk about it all the time, we're living on the experiences of past generations, revivals and things that have happened in people's lives. And we talk about revival. I talk about revival. You know, I want to see revival. Do we really want revival? Do you know what it takes to have a revival? You know what it's going to take from a group of people like us right here in this place? You know what it'll take from us to really have a revival, the kind of revival where it goes on and on and on and on, night after night after night. People are saved and set free, delivered. Do you know what it's going to cost you? It's very costly. You have to give up your time. You have to find new time, new places to put your efforts in, because God is moving in a unique way. And yeah, it's exciting to think about it, but it's also could be very difficult for God to move in such a way that we come here night after night. I mean, you know, some of the revivals in the past went for 2 and 3 years. And incredible things happened. I want to ask you this morning, we talk about revival. Is that really what we want? Or are we just comfortable? We just want to stay comfortable. I like comfort. I want to be comfortable. But more important, I believe what we have to do is get to the point where we have this desire in our heart, in our soul, inside of us, that's burning to the point where it doesn't matter what it costs. We will make the sacrifice because we want to see the power of God really released in people's lives. Stand with me. You know where revival begins? Right here. Each and every one of us. Until we get to the point where I, as your pastor, where I have the desire. Hallelujah. You know, I wish I was as special as Spencer thinks I am. She's a sweet girl. But you know, I know me. I know sometimes I think, wow, God, am I willing to pay that price? And yet, there's still something inside of me that says, man, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. To see our community changed, to see the drug and alcohol problems just totally destroyed by the power of Holy Spirit, to see marriages put back together by God, to see lives changed and altered, to see those who are doing horrible things suddenly turn and run back to run it to a relationship and experience with God. That only Holy Spirit is able to do that. We can't do it. All we have is the message. We have the power that's in Jesus' name, but it's all by the power of God. But we have a powerful message. And I really want us as a congregation to get to the point to pray and seek God with all our heart so that we will come to this place where we as a group of people have a desire to see revival, real revival take place. Next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about what I believe it's going to take for that to happen. We've got to dig and we've got to redig some spiritual wells in order for that to take place. Now, I want you to join with me this morning, you know. If your heart's in it, I just want you to join with me in agreement that we're going to pray for God to bring revival to this area. I need agreement. I need people who will stand. I need people who will work. I need people who will agree together. So let's just pray for that right now. Father God, you've called your people to be more than just a group of people who stay comfortable. In the book of Acts, the disciples, they prayed for boldness, and you gave them boldness. And they went out into the streets and preached the good news. And powerful things took place. Lord, we're people that like our comfort, and we're thankful for the things that you've done for us. But Father, stir us. Begin with me. Stir my heart, Father. Stir up my desires. Help me to overcome myself and my flesh. Draw me, Father, to the kind of relationship with you that compels me to speak the truth and life to people who are destined to hell, to recognize, Lord, they're going to leave us. And they're going to spend eternity in hell if they do not come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, you're an awesome and mighty God. And I ask these things that we've seen in this church, the veil that Linda talked about, the protective covering, I believe it's here. But I also believe there's a great anointing that you've placed in this place. in this church and in the lives of your people here. And Father, we're going to go forth in that anointing. We're going to accomplish your will. And we pray, Father God, for real revival to take place in our hearts, that it will spread as far and wide as you want it to. And we give you praise and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may have an awesome day today. Praise God. Remember, love never fails.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.